Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. We need you, Lord. We need you more today than we did yesterday. We thank you for the new mercies that greeted us this morning. God, we're just so grateful, so thankful for the Holy Spirit of God that makes all the difference, that has sealed us, that has marked us, that has put a tattoo on us, Lord. It's sealed our heart. And it's filled us, God, with the power of God. Let us be light. Let us be salt. Let us be love. Give us the boldness of David that came through the Holy Spirit because he was connected to you. Let us see it as a reality, Lord, that allows us to transform our life, to cut the heads off of the giants that we face, the temptations, the frustrations, the distractions, God. He was anointed with the oil of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then it broke all the yokes. It canceled everything out. God, may we break the yokes, God, by staying connected to you, depending on your Holy Spirit and not wisdom of men and not our own understanding. May it lead to a transformed life. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It illuminates the way. So we try our best to navigate, God, through this dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. May we be led by your spirit and not our flesh. Speak to us now. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God is speaking to us people this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we've been going over the light of the world, and I'm just going to take my time with this. We're going to get through it. Amen. Eventually, amen, or either the Lord comes back or he takes us home. But hey, we're taking our time with it and we're going to get through it. But we know that we are the light of the world. Jesus passed the baton to us. Said he's the light of the world, but then he passed the baton to us and said that we're the light of the world. So we've been going through the chapter 9, the man that was born blind. We pick it up at verse 31 as he's in the middle of his first sermon. Verse 31, he says, now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, if any person has a relationship with God, and for us, that's through Jesus Christ, and does God's will, God hears that person. So I was just trying to get past that, but I can't quite get past it. We did make a note in, you have in your notes, you should have Proverbs 5 and 8. Crystal, can you throw up Proverbs 5 and 8? I'm sorry, 15:8. Proverbs 15:8. So it's saying if we're practicing sin, then God can't. He can't hear it unless we're confessing and forsaking it. So family, I don't want us to walk out of here and think that, you know, that it's okay for us to practice sin. I'm not talking about a struggle and all that kind of stuff. Because we all struggling with something. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you're not, I got to check your pulse because you're probably not alive. And if you are, and if you're not, you're so deep into sin that you don't even realize it. So you just think everything's good. Other than that, we're struggling and we all are. Amen. No titles or nothing. Everybody. The sacrifice of the wicked is disgusting to Jehovah God, but the prayer of the upright is he loves when we pray. Now, let me tell you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying we worked to get God's approval. I'm not saying that because we're saved by grace. Somebody say amen. Amen. But because we are saved by grace, then we have access to God because of the grace that saves us through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works. So because of Jesus Christ, we have access to God. Please take advantage of that access. Amen. Confess, forsake the sin, run to God and take advantage of the access. Crystal, take us to Proverbs 15, I think it's 29. So make a note of this. God is far from the wicked. You got people out here talking about God. It's not the same God that we serve. It's not the living God. It's not the God of the Bible. So people can say God, but it's not the God that we serve. And we all don't serve the same God. You can't buy into that. They'll tell you, whatever you are, it's all this. It is not. It's not the true and living God. It's not the one who died on the cross and resurrected for us. God is far from the wicked. Those who's practicing wickedness, God's far from them. I don't care how much pride they say they have. It's a sin to be homosexual. It's a sin to murder a baby. It's a sin to fornicate. It's a sin to commit adultery. It's a sin to lie, to steal, to cheat. It's a sin. It's not unforgivable, but you got to call it what it is. And it needs to be confessed and forsaken. Because God is far from that, but he hears the prayers of those that are righteous through Jesus Christ. Use the access that God has given us. So this is what we know. This is what the man born blind, he's telling. Now he's teaching the religious folks. This is what we know. This is a God that we get down with. So maybe when he was blind and he was at the door of the temple, he's listening. And he's hearing this being taught. Maybe something like, Crystal, take us to Isaiah 38 and 1. Maybe he's listening to them as they're teaching. Because remember, he's just a man born blind. And they talked about him. They didn't like him. They thought he was his mama sinned, his daddy sinned, or he sinned. He ain't got nothing coming from us. But maybe he's sitting at the door of the temple. Or maybe every now and then he would sneak in. And he knows that God doesn't hear the prayers of the sinners. But he does hear those that do the will of God. So here we go. I want to just give us an object, a lesson, an example. Make a note of it. If you don't have this in your highlighted in your Bible, highlight it. Go to this as often as you need to remind yourself that God does hear prayers of the righteous. Isaiah 38 and 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Not the report we want. Somebody say, man, that's not the report we want. Hezekiah was a praying man. He was connected to God. He was a king. He gets this word from the prophet. Get your house in order, because you're not going to make it. I got a text Friday afternoon from one of my really good friends. Told me that his wife passed away. Yeah, so make a note. Pray for the Bugs, B-U-G-G-S, the Bugs family. I told him I would have the church pray for him and we'd be lifting him up. And the four kids between, I guess, ages 14 and maybe 22. Didn't even know she was sick. Said she passed away of breast cancer. So God put three things. As I'm reading this, number one, here's three things that God spoke to my heart during my study time. We don't have as much time as we think. And they're in their 40s. So number one, we don't have as much time as we think. Then number two, don't waste time being upset. Let me talk to the couples just for a minute. Don't waste time being upset, being foolish. And singles being connected to ungodly friends and being distracted by all this mirage, orderly system of deception that this world tries to distract us with. And then number three, get your spiritual house in order. We don't have as much time as we think. So we see Hezekiah, he's a man of prayer, and sometimes the prayer is no, but God does respond to the prayer. We know that Paul prayed three times and said, God, if you can remove this, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You can deal with it. It's tough. The reality hits us sometimes. Reality hits Hezekiah. Look at Hezekiah in verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Why? Because he was a praying man. See, it's not just when you're in trouble. This is not the genie in the bottle type stuff. This is a relationship between a man and his God who worship God in spirit and in truth, got some bad news and said, God, I'm coming to you. Not get in a jam and then say, oh, I need to pray. No, this is a continuation of praying always. Staying connected always. Family, we talk about our praying and fasting time every morning. Why? Because there's times when we got to turn our face to the wall and say, God, I really need you. Whether we're praying on behalf of ourselves, our kids, our parents, our church, our siblings, there's a time you got to turn your face to the wall and you got to know that God is there. The man said, this is what we know. Instead of turning your face to the wall, if you're not connected to God, your prayers are bouncing off the wall. Don't fool yourself. If you don't have that relationship with God, and it's not because I'm trying to earn points with God, it's because God, my life will fall apart without you, and I need to hear from you. It's a relationship. Not trying to earn points with God. I couldn't. God needs me. I mean, I need God. God doesn't need me. Amen. God's going to, they told Esther, look, if you don't do what you've been called to do, God's still going to deliver, but you're going to be cast to the side. God don't need us. We need God. Somebody say amen. Amen. We walk around like we created God. We didn't. He created us. That's why we turn our face to the wall. I love this. This is what we know. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember me now, O Lord. Somebody, you need to have this highlighted. I'm begging you how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect, that word perfect in the Hebrew is a loyal heart. Pause right there. Uh-oh. He said, God, I've been real with you, and my heart has been loyal to you. See, because you think about this, make a note, those of you that take notes. If I'm not truthful, if I'm not being honest, I can't be loyal to you. That's why the truth had to come first before I can be loyal. Wives, can I get an amen? If you don't think your husband is truthful to you, then he's probably not loyal to you either. Okay, husbands, that's just the wives and women. Husbands, if you don't think your wife is being truthful to you, then maybe she's not that. You can't have loyalty without truth. Listen, if you can't be truthful and honest to God, I mean to yourself, there's no way you can be honest to God. You've been lying to yourself all these years. You can't be loyal to God because you've been lying to yourself. You got to have the truth first. And then comes the loyalty. He said, God, I'll walk with you in truth. What? Those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in this is not a play relationship. He's been connected to God. Okay. All right. Sister Kathy, thank you, Sister Kathy. Without truth, there can be no loyalty. Revelation, if you can't be honest, you can't be loyal. Same with our other example. I love you, but I don't trust you. It doesn't work that way. If you can't be truthful, you can't be loyal. Until you're honest, until you're honest with your tithes and offering, you can't move forward to I love you and I trust you. Right? And it's not about money. It's just, are you being truthful? And you can't be loyal because you don't trust God. You love him, but you really don't trust him. And that's hard. That's a hard relationship in any form or fashion. Truthful, okay, God, I'm struggling, but I'm going to pay this because I'm loyal to you. So my other note right here says what? What are you loyal to? Where is that at? It's somewhere around here. What are we loyal to? Oh, okay. And it says we got to pause and examine our heart and see what are we really loyal to? Oh, I know. Hey, I've been studying this stuff too. And then God's been asked. So I'm going to ask you the questions, okay? He's been asking me, what is your heart really loyal to? Your family, your friends, your business, your church, your race, your color, your money, your political party. And these could be good things. I'm not saying anything, but I'm saying, what is it really loyal to? Because these can be good and worthwhile things, but none of them have the power, our authority, our ability to heal you when you're on your deathbed. When your back's up against the wall and you're on your deathbed, you can't call on anything but the true and living God. Either to heal you or transition you right home with him. So we have to pause and examine the hidden agenda of our hearts. Get our loyalty priorities in order. Look at that. Crystal, we'll come back to this in just a minute. Take us to, let me give you a little Bible study. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16, and I think it's 7. Because it always comes back to the heart. Is it 7? 6, 1 Samuel 6? Oh, yeah. So here you have God has sent Samuel to Jesse's house to anoint the next king. So when the first son came in, Eliab, Samuel saw him because he looked so good and said, oh, man, this dude looks like a king. This is a king right here. But God said unto Samuel, don't look on his count. Don't look on how he's dressed. Come on, somebody say amen. Or on the height of his stature. Because I've rejected him. And I know, ladies, it's tough. You see single ladies, I know you see a guy and it looks, that's the one. And God said, you better slow down. Same thing with our single men. You see her and she looks like, and you got to slow down. Because God says, don't look at the outward appearance, the how tall, how dark, how handsome, how whatever. Because I've rejected them. You will be unequally yoked. For God sees, make a note, God sees not as man sees. God does not see like we see. We see the outside. But what does God say? For man looks on outward appearance because that's all we have. But God looks on the heart. Talk with Clarence all the time. It always, we try and get away from it, but it comes right back to the heart. Who you really are when nobody else is around, you got to turn that over to God. You got to let God work on that person. You got to let God clean that person out, transform you from the inside out, because I don't care what you look like. I can't be impressed with anybody. No titles, what they look like, I can't be. I'm not fooled by that stuff. Family, that's a level of maturity that we all need to be on. Not fooled by it. I'm not impressed by it because I know God's looking right at the heart. So here's the revelation. Since the heart is hidden, all of us have a hidden agenda. It's called our heart. We all have a hidden agenda called the heart. But here's the good thing. We just have to make sure that agenda lines up with God's agenda. It's okay, because I can't see your heart. You can't see mine. You don't know. What's pastor's agenda? I don't know. He's been there 7 years. You know he's getting ready. He's going to jump out the closet. Yeah, I'm going to get y'all. I'm just waiting till that 8th year. I'm like, ooh, didn't know this was coming, did you? What's pastor's agenda? You don't. I'm waiting till the 8th year. I'm going to show you. The number 8, new beginnings. Watch and see. I'm going to get you, Sister Hazel. Watch. You don't know. Pastor looks like a good guy. He comes, he does his thing. But I tell you, I got a hidden agenda. You'll see. Y'all just better hope it's a godly agenda. Somebody say amen. Same thing with y'all. We got to keep it godly. We have to keep the agenda. The enemy tries to come, but we got to keep it godly. You can't be impressed. We can't be impressed with all this stuff we see. Crystal, take us to... I told y'all I'm all over the place. Y'all, don't let me take another week off, because I don't even know how to act when I come back, okay? No more weeks off for you, Pastor, because you're doing way too much. I know. Crystal, take us really quickly to Matthew 4 and 8. Pastor, no more weeks off for you. No, I know. I'm fired up. I don't know when to stop. I don't know how to act. But look at what I'm saying. Inside and outside the church, we can't be impressed. That's a Matthew 4 and 8. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Again, the devil takes Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. See, you can't be impressed with what people have. Inside the church, outside the church, you don't know what their hidden agenda is. You don't know who they're really connected to. They didn't sold their soul out to the devil. And they got all this stuff. Let me just make a note of it, because we read this. It was in 1 Samuel 15, 3, verse 3, verse 9, and verse 13. And that's Saul got the word from God. Then he was disobedient to God. And then he tried to say, I've done the work, the will of God. He's the king over the church at the time, the people of God. And he's saying, I've done the will of God. And he hadn't done anything. He could be and he had all this stuff, too. It looks so good. It could be a huge mega ministry. Looks so good. God said, I rejected you. This relationship ain't working. You're not serving me. You're serving the people and you're serving yourself. So even inside the church, we can't be impressed with what people have. We can't say a church is doing well because they've got so much stuff. It's not, family. And we know nothing's wrong. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with having stuff, but I'm saying you got to be loyal to something. You got to be loyal to God, and don't be fooled. And don't let people fool you by the outward appearance. It takes time to get to know someone. Amen. Had this conversation with our daughter last week, and she's trying to make friends, and it's a nice looking guy. And oh, girl, will you slow down? You got 4 years to get education. If something else, you find someone who's, it's going to take 4 years to get to see who the real person is. It ain't gonna happen in 2 months. Because everybody wears the mask. And that's what she told me. Dad, it was some guy, he was trying to talk to me and all that. Then when he saw I wasn't gonna sleep with him, he took his mask off and showed who he really was. I said, there you go. See, I love having conversations. Man, I'm telling you, man, I love having conversations. Did she tell you that, honey? Okay, good. I'm glad she told you that, too, but I know she told me, so. I'm glad. I love having conversations with my daughter, right? So we sit down, we talk about everything because we have to. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Said, Dad, that cat was wearing a mask. Yes. Yeah, I told you, it takes a while. Mm-hmm. 2 months, I could wear a mask for a month. I could, Sister PJ, I could wear a mask for 7 years. That eighth year. It's hard to wear a mask for 7 years, boy, I tell you. But this one fits well, okay? I'm just waiting. The Joker. Oh, so look. All right. Yeah, I tell you, I'm all up. Yeah, we're going to stop where we stop. All right? But look at, stay here. Okay, Matthew 4, 8 through 10. Here we go. Again, the devil, he already tried to tempt him twice, right? So make a note, especially young folks, make a note, it's not a sin to be tempted. Because God was tempted, he just didn't follow through. And see, this is, and I had this argument with another brother who was saying Jesus wasn't like us. Yes, he was. Right here, Jesus, he could have actually went for this and would have forfeited the cross. Man, why go to the cross when you can get this right here? Dude, I give you everything. You ain't got to die for folks who don't even love you and care for you. The guy's trying to tell me that Jesus couldn't have committed a sin. Well, if that's the case, when we stand before Jesus, we can tell him, man, you don't know what it was like to be tempted. Because you wasn't going to, he had to have the ability to fall into temptation so he could tell us, you can overcome because I overcame. Other than that, I'd stand before him and say, you don't know what it was like down here. But he can't, he's going to say, no, actually I do. Do you know how beautiful those kingdoms look when he showed me that? And I didn't even have to die, I could just embrace them. If I just would have sold out right there. Do you know how good that stuff looked? Do you know how hungry I was when he told me to turn my stones into bread and just eat something, knowing I had the power to do it? Yeah. So if we're not going to be able to stand before God and say, you don't understand, because Jesus, I do understand, was trying to tell the brother, I said, no, Jesus, he couldn't have committed a sin. He didn't, but he had the ability to, because that's his human side. And then he stood on the word because that's his godly side, and he overcame. Amen. So here we go. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get out of here, Satan. Get out my face. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Make a note of that, young folks, not so young folks, and our seasoned saints as well. You got to worship something. It is written. Then when we stand before God, it's already written. And if we worshiped anything beside him, we made anything else our God, that's what we're counting on to save us when we stand before him. It's the only thing that's going to save us. Now look at verse 7. Go to 4:17, Crystal. Let me show you why that's so important. Jesus had to get through the temptations. Family, we got to get through the temptations and the frustrations and the distractions. Verse 17, from that time. Well, let's read 16 too, since we're talking about light and dark. Verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Somebody say amen. Amen. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Jesus is quoting scripture. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Make this note. If you don't get, so it wasn't so much about Jesus' current situation, but it was Satan saw what was coming in the future. If you don't get through the temptations and the distractions, he started his ministry once he got through. He's not trying to stop you now. He sees what's in the future for you. If I can get you caught up now, you'll never start that ministry that God has for you. You think you're going through. Yeah, you are. It's not for right now. It's because Satan is trying to thwart what God is doing in your life. He's trying to prevent you from that ministry that God has for you. And making disciples. That's the purpose. The method, we gotta find God. Show me my method. I know the purpose. That's why he had to take Jesus. He was so disappointed when Jesus didn't fold. And then Jesus started the ministry and turned the world upside down. Family, we gotta get through the temptations, the frustrations, the distractions. It's not about right now. It's about where God is taking us and what God has for you personally and for us corporately. So important that you make that connection. All right, let's finish this up. Let's go back to Isaiah 38 and 38:1. Let's finish this up. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's make it crystal 38:3. If you're there, say amen. Oh, let's do two. I love two. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Said, Lord, remember now, I'm begging you. I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. He didn't say he was perfect, didn't say he got it all right, but his heart was loyal to God. Look what he says, and I have done that which is good in your sight. And then he started crying. Make a note, when we went through the Old Testament, we went through the book of Judges, it said everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So it's a big problem. Look at what Hezekiah says. He said, I have done that which is good in your eyes. Family, the culture is telling you all type of stupid stuff that it's okay to be this, it's okay to be that. God says you better do what's right in my eyes because that's who you have to answer to. Amen. 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 Yes. And he cried. Then came the word, verse 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, so God responds, verse 5, go and say to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. Somebody underline that. Make a note. God hears prayers. No, yes, not now. Get your house in order because you're on your way out. Either way, that's an answer. But look what it is. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Underline that. God has seen your tears. Somebody, you've been crying, you're trying to figure out if God even cares. God, see, stay connected, stay committed. Don't give up, don't lose hope. God said, I've seen your tears. So what he will, okay, so make a note, God hears and God sees. God answers. Make a note, let me say it again. God hears, God sees, God answers. It's the God we serve. I love God's word. So either I love you and I don't trust you, or either God, I trust you and I trust you even more after reading a scripture like this. Verse 5, go and say to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I hear your prayer. I see your tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years. Gets better. Verse 6, I will deliver. Make a note, God delivers. Some of us been caught up in addictions and all other kind of stuff, and we can stand and testify that God is a deliverer. I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend. Somebody make a note, God is a defender. You and I have been fighting battles and carrying stuff and losing sleep, and it's not even worth it. We refuse to cast it over to God who defends us, defends our city, defends our kids, defends our marriage, defends our job. Keep walking with God. God will fight your battles. David makes that plain in 1 Samuel 17 as well. We'll see that. God's a defender. Verse 7, and this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing. Somebody say amen. Sound like Isaiah got a little slang on him. The Lord will do this thing. That he has spoken. Make a note, God is faithful. God keeps his promises. And that's the God which I love sharing the word of God. Family, get hope. Let me give you some more hope. Amen. Amen. Let me go through it again. Verse 5. Said unto Hezekiah, thus said the Lord God of David thy father. God hears our prayers. God sees our tears. And he knows why we're crying too. said, I'm going to add some years unto your life. God delivers. God defends. You don't have to worry about a pink slip. If God closes, if you're connected to God and he closes that door, he's giving you he's doing you a favor. He got something so big and so much better for you, you have no idea. You ain't got to be arguing with people and trying to manipulate and all. Just trust God. Saying, this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord. The Lord will do this thing. God is faithful and he keeps his promise. And the next we'll have to pick up, and the rest we'll have to pick up next week. So if you would, just bow your heads. Lord, we thank you as you're trying to speak to us this morning. Tell us to stay connected to you. Keep confessing and forsaking sin that we might find mercy. Sin prevents us from talking to God when we practice it. Confess, forsake the sin daily. Keep your dialogue open with God. For the good times, it's called gratefulness and thankfulness. When we run to him and just say, thank you, Lord. In the tough times, it's called a petition. It's called, I'm begging, I'm beseeching you, Lord. I need some help. But keep the dialogue open with God 24/7. Why would you not want to talk to the true and living God? Why would you not want to stay connected to God? Why wouldn't you? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When it was nothing good in us, God died for us. And now that we've been redeemed and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, God would love to talk with us every day. That's why he sent his son to die for us. So we can be reconnected. The bridge can be built again. And it's there. It's called Jesus Christ. This is what we know. God does not hear those that are so deep in rebellion and sin. God is far from them. I don't care what they say and what God they try and tell you they serve. The God of the Bible says that he hears those who have a relationship with him, who's true, who walks in truth and loyalty and worship him in spirit and in truth. So God, we just repent. We ask for forgiveness of sins. And as we've had divided loyalties to other things, and God, we love you. Help us to trust you with all things. Forgive us, God, and thank you for reminding us that we are that special treasure. How much you love us, how much you care for us. How much you desire to have a relationship with us, that we would walk with you every day like Adam did in the cool of the day. How you long for that relationship with your creation, which you created us for, to walk with you, to worship you, to dialogue with you. Forgive us for our rebellion, our sin. We thank you that your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cast it in the sea of forgetfulness and say, man, I don't even remember. Let's keep walking together. Keep holding my hand. Keep seeking my face. Keep running to me and not from me. All that other stuff you confessed, I don't even remember. Stop tripping. Don't let the enemy hold that against you. Stop tripping on that. That's not me. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk after the spirit and not the flesh. That's not me, that's the enemy. When he tries to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future, that lake of fire that's coming for him, and you keep running to me. So Lord, we love you and we bless you. We thank you we serve a God who's filled with compassion and love for his people. God, help us to do what's right in your sight. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've never connected with Christ. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't even know if I'm saved. You don't even have to guess anymore. We can make sure that you know, based on the authority of Scripture, that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you're here saying, Pastor, I really want to, and saved just means being rescued, rescued from this crazy world that's trying to tell you need to do something to be something when you are already something. If that's you, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, I want to get saved this morning. I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I want to be a new creation in Christ. Maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life. Divided loyalties, we've already prayed about it. That's just between you and God. Remember, man looks on the outside, so we don't need you to see your hand. We don't need you to stand up. God's looking right at your heart. That hidden agenda of the heart, God is looking at it. And he sees that your heart is sorry, is broken, is contrite, just like David was in Psalm 51. And God says, I got you. Welcome home. Scripture says, when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. God says, welcome home, and they're rejoicing because you're coming back. And God said, let's stay connected. So, Lord, we love you on today. God, we thank you. Transform our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of your word. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together, stand on your feet.